Yes. Ba 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 ba. Yes. Hip in the lip. The Islanders are in the playoffs. Yes. Hip in the lip. Welcome from the expected unknown parts of metropolitan New York City.
All right.
I am the hip, and this is the lip.
Hello, hipsters. Hello. We have clinched. Yes, it's true. Hello. Good evening, Hip Lip Nation, all you hipsters out there.
And it was it was an anti-limp clinch. This was a convincingly exciting clinch for your New York Islanders. And welcome to this New York Islanders podcast. This is kind of a special Thursday night episode. We have kind of been in the routine of doing Sunday/Monday night episodes, but we are in crunch time. There are only two games left in the regular season for the New York Islanders in the 2015-16 season, and we just had a thrilling, exciting win over the New York Rangers.
Well, not really.
The Islanders are trending in an exciting direction. I can't believe this is coming out of my voice, considering what we discussed 4 days ago, and here we are. And so, you know, there's only two games left, and we gotta just break it down. And there's a lot of scenarios here. I think a lot of debate, in fact, that will come from tonight. So,
fasten your seatbelts. This episode may end up being over by the time we're all said and done, maybe tomorrow morning. So, or if you're listening, if you're downloading or streaming if you're not listening to it live, then if you have a very long commute, well, you still probably won't be able to finish it.
It's my role to avoid that outcome, and so it appears you're putting me and or us to the test. So.
Well, you are the maestro, so maestro, you gotta keep that.
I gotta cut
What is it? I forgot everything from band already. Time signature, whatever. 4-4 time signature.
All right. Well, we'll do a little 6-8 to get that going. So
accelerated.
So, look, quick standings update here. So, a change from 4 days ago, where now the New York Islanders have slotted back into third place in the Metropolitan Division. They are tied with the Rangers, 99 points apiece. The Rangers are fourth only because the Islanders have a game in hand on the Rangers. The Rangers actually would have the tiebreaker as of today because the Rangers have more rows. Regulation and overtime wins by
more
two.
Rows. Yep.
Right. Now, I don't know what happens if they actually have the same number of rows. Head-to-head.
And then the Islanders would obviously win that.
Right, so it is still possible because the Rangers have two rows above the Islanders right now. If the Rangers lose, the Islanders win in regulation or overtime the remaining two games, then they tie with rows. And that's significant because it all comes down to who are these teams going to match up with in the first round of the playoffs? Now they've both clinched, and you know we're past the at least for me the worry that they're going to collapse and not actually make the playoffs. That mindset already feels like a distant memory. That was one that we talked about on Sunday. But now it's how are these teams going to match up? And maybe we should just put a pause on that. Let's do a recap of the last three games first. Then we'll go into the going forward picture. I think that's more appropriate. So,
all right.
And I think it's worth getting into these last few games because, man, we talked about how tough of a stretch this was going to be. And the Islanders are now 6-1 in their last seven games. I mean, this is just, in the win-loss column-wise at least, a great turnaround. Look, the one was a huge blemish, a 5-0 shutout blowout loss at home to the feared Pittsburgh Penguins. But you know what? You're going to have those games every now and again. But, you know, so the last three, though, They defeated Tampa Bay decisively. Then they came back against Washington in in regulation in the third period, got the game win in overtime, and now they just took care of business against the Rangers. So, you know, what's your feeling coming out from the stretch?
Well, very different tone this episode will have comparatively to the last episode, where I'm sure you remember I was not too pleased with the team and with the coach and, you know, with most of the players. And like you said, that that one in this past stretch was a big one, because, and we'll get into, of course, previewing and, you know, just looking ahead. But the Islanders cannot, and I'll just throw this out there, the Islanders cannot have home ice advantage with Pittsburgh winning this evening. Pittsburgh had to lose in regulation in order for that, to, at least for them to still have a chance for home ice. But now that is done. Now the best they can do is beat a number three seed in the division in which they would play Pittsburgh in the first round, not have home ice. So that's something that Islander fans, I guess, are very fearful of. And that's why there's been lots, like you said, lots of debate as to whether or not the Islanders should have been trying to win this game or maybe hand it to the Rangers so they can have that spot, take on Pittsburgh, and then the Islanders get the cushy seventh spot in the conference and take on, I guess, the not as fearful Florida Panthers. But, yeah, very different tone for this episode, at least for me. The last one felt more like a dark DC comic movie type tone, whereas today it's a lighter Marvel comic movie tone. So we are moving into at least to a more jovial, happy, exuberance tone for this episode from the last one. But, yeah, look, I mean, it started off on Monday when Jack Capuano called out his players. And, you know, I want your thoughts, you know, on his tactics, because, you know, you don't – this was very – I mean, you think about what I was yelling about on Sunday about how Jack just had this terrible attitude, you know, this – again, this meant not to rehash the whole thing, but just a mentality that, you know, oh – you know, what was us? You know, we have injuries. What do you want us to do? We're just we're happy to be here. If we make the playoffs, it's a success. And, you know, I don't have any more expectations for this season. And then all of a sudden, he decides to go out on Monday and call out three specific players in public. First, he calls out Brock Nelson, Josh Bailey, and Ryan Strome. And, you know, I'll read the quote here. He says, "We need Strome to be better, Brock to be better, Bailey to be better. We need guys to be better if we're going to have any chance at all. They see it black and white. The video doesn't lie. It doesn't come down to X's and O's. It doesn't come down to systems. It comes down to how hard you compete." And then goes on to say, "We've struggled with a few guys for sure. Compete level, work ethic, it has to be better. There's no doubt that those guys have to figure out at some point. And the guys mentioned need to pick their shit up and start playing." And, you know, and I paraphrase a little bit there. But, you know, the team responded. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, obviously called out three specific players, but, you know, if the whole entire locker room hears this, you know, they're probably saying, you know what, this is not a challenge to those three. This is a challenge to us collectively as a whole. We know that we were horrific on Saturday. We know that we have to collectively as a group play better, improve our compete level, our overall effort, and, you know, go back to, you know, to what allowed us some success in the previous season and at certain times this season. And that's exactly what they did on Monday against Tampa. But, you know, I want your thoughts, though, on Jack's tactic. Out of character.
I'm confused. Because last show, we talked about Jack's comments following the loss to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And the comments that you just referenced were also made between the Penguin and Lightning game from Saturday to Monday. Yes,
exactly. So all of a sudden, it's like he like had a night's sleep and then woke up and said, "Oh, you know," and maybe he listened to us. Maybe he heard our podcast and said, "You know what? Exactly. They're right."
I should have thought of that. Yeah.
Or maybe someone reported. Maybe he has people that listen to every Islanders podcast and say, "Hey, Jack, the hip and the lip there were not very complimentary of your post game."
You know, between the same two games, he said, I'm repeating what we said last time. He said, it's not like we have a lot of guys in the bullpen that we could put in there. He said that the Pens were healthy and we're not. I mean, God, it just doesn't make sense.
I was thrilled. I heard this and I said,
right, awesome. You'll take it. Right, yes. You'll take it. Yes, I'm not saying I'm not saying that we don't want him to say that, but I just am trying to understand, like,
well,
what happened to the clubhouse when he says one thing. You know, maybe he watched the film. I don't know, like, but one game is not going to make him call out Nelson, Bailey, and Strom. It's a pattern of crappy play, not just one game.
Oh, no, absolutely. And, you know, but, you know, I, you know, we have been talking
something
about
happened.
It. Yeah.
Something well, I mean, happened.
Maybe.
That,
maybe.
I mean, somebody said something to him, like, what the hell are you saying? Making excuses. You got to motivate this team. Or he just slept on it and woke up the next day. And, but, I mean, it's like, do you want a coach that's just so, like, inconsistent with their attitude? I mean, it's just...
Well, you know what? Jack has always been known as a player's coach. He's not someone that, you know, you never hear him call out players in public. Look, when the team doesn't play well, you'll hear him criticize the team, you know, battle level, you know, sticks and walls and whatever, you know, he uses his Jackisms. So it's not that he never criticized the team, but it's so out of character for him to call out players in public. I mean, look, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You know, in any sport, different, you know, coaches and managers have their own tactics and, you know, their methodology as to how they approach, you know, the psyche of their team. You know, Al Arbor, you know, one of the great coaches in the history of the sport, you know, the former Islanders coach. I mean, he was, you know, one of the things that made him such a great coach, at least, you know, what's been written and said about him is that he knew when to push players' buttons. You know, if a player needed a kick in the ass, that's what he did. If he needed a softer touch and, you know, kind of more positive reinforcement, then he had that approach.
A little caressing.
A little soft touch. Yes.
the Arbor caress, yes.
The Arbor caress. And that's what made him a great coach is because, he knew he knew his team, he knew his players, and he knew how to get the most out of them. And maybe Jack said, you know what, enough with the kid gloves. It's time to take off the gloves, and it's time to rattle the cages of these guys and, you know, emphasize that their play is unacceptable and they have to pick it up and that they're going to be counted upon because there's nobody in the bullpen. So I guess that means Bailey's not getting benched, although they have a zillion injuries now, so Bailey was not getting benched anyway.
Well, I mean, maybe he realizes there is someone in the bullpen for him. And this is it. If they just continue on this path of mediocrity and inconsistency and lackluster play, he's done. So, you know, maybe it's a little selfish on his part that he can't just go, you know, blaming other teams being healthy at this point.
Hey,
that's not gonna get anywhere.
Yeah, but so, whatever works.
whatever keeps him behind the bench. So, well, look. Is it correlation or causation? I don't know. But the results are what they are, ripping off three wins against three playoff-bound teams. Now, look, you could try to knock the wins down slightly. Tampa Bay's best player got hurt, and it's their first game without him. Washington, you know, they don't have anything really to play for in the standings. And then the Rangers, well, there's debate as to whether these teams actually wanted to win this game. Or I should say, no, I rephrase that. There's debate as to whether the fans wanted their own teams to win this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you could try to pick apart the significance of the wins, but I don't think you should. I mean, the Islanders played well. They came back when they were down, you know, against Washington in the third period there. They put up five on Tampa Bay at home. So... and Pulak was back in that one. That was nice to see. And I think Strait was injured, so they weren't really left with a choice. But Pulak scored in that game. I mean, why this guy needs to play every game? This is it. You know,
Pulak will be. Yeah, I think Pulak has entrenched himself in the lineup.
We've said it so many times, and you know, finally it looks like it's going to happen. Whether it's because of injury or because of other players injured or because of his quality.
Well, now it's because of players because Strait's now injured. So,
it's
I mean, Strait went in and Washington got injured. So,
right.
Pulak's going to, you know, it's going to be a baptism by fire for him, especially, you know, in the playoffs. And, you know, it's going to be a very different, you know, type of game. Obviously, minimal, you know, NHL experience for Pulak, you know, however many games he's played now. But playoff hockey's going to learn very quickly is very different than, you know, playing, you know, in a regular season game. But I mean the team responded against Tampa Bay. I mean, you saw it in the beginning of that game. I mean, they really looked like they, you know, took on their coach's challenge, and you know, they played inspired hockey. You saw two dust ups in the first period in that game. You saw Poso mix up. You saw Pulak defend Hickey, who had you know, taken a hit and went after Cedric Paquette of the Lightning. You know, you've documented and how he said this during the game was the best effort you've seen from the team in quite a while, which is true. You know, Matt Martin turned on the Jets and scored a really great goal. Nelson scored a goal. That's one of the players called out. He scored a really nice goal off a nice feed from Kuhlman in that game. And, you know, the Islanders, you know, really played from start to finish a complete game. I mean, you know, there were some points where the Lightning press and the Lightning are very skilled, so they're going to, you know, make noise. But, you know, a really impressive game. And then, obviously, you mentioned in, against Washington, you know, coming back in the third. Gibson, their fourth-string goaltender, Christopher Gibson, as Thomas Greiss got the night off playing on Monday. And Greiss, we'll get to him, and he was much better on Monday and then was phenomenal tonight. Oh, phenomenal. Right.
Rube was out.
Rube was injured. Out. Yep. Yep. So Gibson's called up. First NHL start. Play solid. I mean, didn't, you know, wasn't spectacular, but I thought overall he was very solid. I mean, you know, I really don't think you could put any of those goals on him. You know, two goals by Ovechkin. One was a blister of a shot. Another, right, you know, another one, he was in all alone in front after a 3-on-1 where Scott Mayfield, who was in this game because of injury, looked like he was lost on that play, although I thought Mayfield played okay. What was interesting about the Washington game was that it really felt like deja vu for me watching in terms of the Game 7 last year, very, very eerily similar. Scott Mayfield playing in that game because of injury. I think I forget how many defensemen they were down in that game, but Mayfield playing in that game just like he did tonight, you know, the backup goalie in this game. I mean, it just really felt like deja vu, just like a very overmatched team. But that was probably the grittiest, guttiest win that they have had in a long – maybe their grittiest, guttiest win of the season.
I mean, Washington had so many chances to to put it away. And just sometimes you get lucky with where the puck goes. Sometimes it's, you know, it's better to be lucky than good. But I'm not saying that they were lucky in this game. I'm just saying that
Washington had
their chances.
Yeah, I mean, and the Islanders have had games this year where they won and you're like, oh, that was terrible. I mean, they only won because the other team stunk, or, you know, or because they were lucky. This game, I mean, they really put forth a hell of an effort from start to finish. Again, you know, coming back in the third period, Oposo, you know, taking a spill after he scores a tying goal. Oh, I'm sorry, the goal to make it 3-2, and then the tying goal. Lee, again, another deflection from Anders Lee, who went out in the game tonight, and will hopefully, I mean, he's okay because he's been playing really well, and he just is so effective when he's parking that big ass of his in front of the net. I mean, you just see how effective a player he can be and how important it is to have a player that can do that. And, you know, and so another deflection goal for Anders Lee, and then, you know, held on, you know, in the last few minutes to force the overtime. And then Thomas Hickey takes a skate to the face and then, you know, comes back a minute later to take a beautiful pass from John Tavares, a gorgeous pass, you know, in that 3-on-3 scramble session.
Yep.
And, you know, was able to lay it on a tee for Hickey, who, you know, had 3/4 of the net to shoot at. He does, you know, and, you know, puts it in, you know, top shelf, game over, Islanders win, playoff, spot clinched.
Yeah, they clinch. It's just kind of ironic. They clinch against the Capitals.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I guess, the team that knocked them out last year. Well, and the Capitals were trying to get the win for their goalie, who was still trying to tie Martin Brodeur for a single season or wins in a single season. So, hell of a game by them on Wednesday, as we got Tuesday. To view from a St. Louis Cardinals bar, as we still are on the lookout for an Islander bar.
That was Tuesday, and, you know, then they had the night off, and then they come back to New York City, back to Madison Square Garden, where they go for the first ever sweep, regular season sweep of the against the New York Rangers.
Hey, how about that?
I mean, I couldn't believe that they've never done it. I mean, did they ever, like in prior years with the scheduling, like would they play more often than four times in a season?
Yeah. I mean, going back to you know, when they were an expansion team in the early 70s, and go back to 72. I mean, I want to say they probably played for a period of like yeah, maybe into like the mid 90s, it was at least six, seven times a year. And then they've adjusted the schedule. And actually, there was a period where I think there was a couple of years there last decade when they played eight times because they wanted more games against your division rivals. And then the league said, "Oh, wait, no. We actually want every team to play an even amount of games against each other in both conferences." So that ensured two games against the Western Conference, you know, for the East, and vice versa for the West. And in your division now, you can only play you're either going to play your opponent four or five times. Islanders and Rangers, if it's only going to be a max of five times, they should absolutely play five times every year. I mean, my God, I mean four times. I mean, because I want to see Carolina five times, right? Or even the Devils, so I don't consider really a rival. Five games against Pittsburgh, the Rangers, maybe Philadelphia. You know, those are the Washington. I mean, those are the teams I want to see five against. You know, Columbus, Carolina, Devils, even my God. But came away with the victory tonight. Like you said, first time that they swept, so that's sweet. We'll get to what was going on Islander Mania in just a moment. But you know, this game actually was the worst of the three that they won. I mean, Thomas Kreiss was phenomenal in this game. He stood on his head. I mean, the Rangers made a huge push in the second period. There was a stretch there where it seemed like they had the puck in the Islanders' zone for a year and a day, and they couldn't clear. Greiss made a few, tremendous saves, made a beautiful pad save on JT Miller, centering feed right in front. Miller was point blank right in front of the net, and he was able to get the pad out. Phenomenal. I mean, just a phenomenal game by Thomas Kreiss, and that was the best part of the best take out of this game for the team was that, you know, they're obviously, he's going to be their number one going into the playoffs, and are going to be relying on him to give him good performances, and hopefully this is a sign that he's, you know, regaining the form that he had for much of the season after a little hiccup there.
Right, and look, I mean, he was not responsible for that brutal loss against Pittsburgh, right?
So, yeah, Berube was in that game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't lost in a few games. I'm not saying, you know, he's been playing really well, but he's held his own, and maybe he's not really a true number one goalie, but he's been more than serviceable, and you know, I think he's overall held his own since Halak went down. He hasn't been great, but he's been pretty good.
I mean, he's had his moments. I mean, he definitely hadn't been didn't play as well. Just because he was getting, more work and he was learning what it's like to be a number one. You're going to play majority of the time. And he was very good. I mean, well, he let up a really soft goal against Tampa on that game on Monday, but overall played well in that game. But tonight was really terrific, and you hope that he just continues to carry this. We'll see what Jack does with the goalies. On Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I'm sure that Rice will only play one of those games.
Right.
And if, you know, Berube's, you know, okay, maybe he'll get the other or Gibson, whatever. But, you know, Grice will obviously be starting game one next week.
The Rangers outshot the Islanders 37-23.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was indicative of the play as well. I mean, the Rangers really carried the play for a good portion of the game. I mean, the Islanders really and the game lacked a lot of intensity. I mean, for an Island, and you know, you've seen games at the Garden lack intensity. It's not the same as when they play at the Coliseum in the past, or even the couple games at the Barclays Center this year. It's a shame because I thought this game was maybe going to be for like home ice. You know, the teams are in a 2-3 spot. You know, maybe they're, you know, this game, whoever wins gets home ice. So, and you know, maybe expecting it to be like a real, like, memorable classic game, and pretty nondescript, but, you know, the Islanders got the win. Whether that makes you happy or sad as an Islander fan is another story, and we'll, you know, I guess we'll have to touch on that in just a moment. Prince played in this game, played much better, played well, set up that Casey Zizekas goal. Nielsen scored for the first time in 16 games, so that was nice. Clutterbuck in this game, no Matt Martin in this game.
Right.
Lee gets injured. Dahan almost got hurt again, so... with the injuries.
Right, and, you know, Hamonic's still out.
And unknown, of course, with any of them. I'm sure Clutterbuck and Martin would have played in this game if it was a playoff game. I think both of them, it was, we don't want to risk it, more precautionary, let's keep them out. We clinched the spot, so I think it was more precautionary than anything. At least that's my hope, and that's what my gut is, though, as well.
Right, so... I mean, now, like we said at the beginning of the show, as it stands in the standings, the Islanders are positioned to play at Pittsburgh in round one of the playoffs. Now, this game against the Islanders, this game against the Rangers, had the Rangers won, the Rangers would be, they would have been 4 points ahead of the Islanders, right?
Yeah, they were two ahead of the Islanders coming into the game tonight. Right. That would have meant that they would have solidified the number three spot, because the Islanders right now lose a tiebreaker to the Rangers, as you mentioned earlier, for the Rose, the less regulation overtime victories. So now this gives the Islanders the inside track to that number three spot again. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing remains to be seen. But one thing I'll also throw in there, and you asked me last podcast about the seeding, and right. And I didn't realize that you were asking about the first round. The first round, I mean, that's you have the two wild cards by the two division winners, of course, and the 2-3s in each division. But also, if the Islanders are the number seven seed, that means that they'll obviously play Florida in the first round. But what it also means that if they get past Florida, that means they will play either the winner of the 2-3 matchup in the Atlantic. So if it happens to be Detroit-Tampa or Boston-Tampa, whoever ends up getting that spot, they'll play the winner of that series. So that's the other – that's part of the line of thinking that, oh, we don't want the three in the division. We know we don't want third place. We want the seventh spot in the conference. So we get put into that bracket and then have a preferable matchup against Tampa or Boston or Detroit, as opposed to whoever they would play in the second round, which would be either Washington or – the number three spot, whoever wins the Washington, then whoever they play in the first round. At this point, it would be either Philadelphia.
I mean, what you're getting at is trying to choose which teams you play in the playoffs at this point. And in order to get there, you have to basically lose a game or two, or should have lost tonight. And I just – look, I could understand as a fan that maybe you want the Islanders to lose, but I can't root for my players to want to lose. I can't, because you're basically – look, we're – this is the game against the Rangers, the third-to-last game of the season. We've been talking for months now how up and down this team has been, and how they have to get it together, and how they have to pick it up. And this is, we say 12-game stretch, 8-game stretch, 5-game stretch. Now it's 2. They have to pick it up. They have to play better, and they have to get the right momentum going into the playoffs. To now, on top of that, ask them to maybe not win a game so that they get a better matchup, which we don't even know is even fully within their control, just to me is so irreconcilable. That you can't ask your team to have the mindset to get in the have the momentum of having the confidence to take on any team in the playoffs, while at the same time trying to get a more favorable matchup.
Oh, screw I agree.
That. Screw that. You have to go into the playoffs with the confidence you can beat any team.
Absolutely.
Look, you just beat Washington. Look, you know why I think this is happening with some fans potentially? Is because Pittsburgh just destroyed the Islanders. So they're worried. That is a recency bias that is, I think, creating the fear that you have to play against this team in the playoffs. It was one game. And look, did they not show up? No. But it's behind us. They've ripped off 3 wins. And I think they could take them on. I understand Pittsburgh is playing really well. But they can. And they're not going to have home ice, unfortunately. They can't mathematically. You want these players to have the mindset to get amped up for the playoffs and to ask them to hold back.
I agree. I absolutely agree, and that's why you play. What did Herm Edwards say in 2002? You play to win the game. What did Tom Coughlin do in 2007 when everybody was yelling at him to bench his players to keep him healthy for the playoffs in a game against the Patriots that meant nothing for them since they were already entrenched in their position that year? They went out, they played their hearts out, they lost, you know, they lost that game, but right. They ended up going on to beat that team in the Super Bowl. So, you know, maybe not the best examples. I just, you know, popped into my head. But, you know, yes, and one of the things that we've been talking about is we want them to peak at the right time, and you right. want to go into the playoffs with momentum, whether or not you believe that it's going to carry over or it only carries over, you know, depending on who your opponent is.
But you want to have you want to have momentum.
Absolutely. No question.
Whether it carries or not, you want
the team to be playing well and confident in their ability to beat anybody going to the playoffs. And you know what? Their goal should not just be to win a playoff series. The Bayon Islander Mania tonight, and it was surreal going through Islander Mania, seeing people like, you know, the Islanders scored a goal. Oh, man, what do we do? Like, what the hell? You know, this sucks. I can't, you know, we're going to beat them. This sucks. I want Florida. You know, I don't want Pittsburgh. You know, and other people like, oh, you know, shut up. You know, screw that. You know, we want it. I'll take on the Penguins, bring them on. You know, you want to have that mentality. It was like surreal, like going through the Islander Mania message board in the game thread tonight. And, you know, and just you want the team, like you said, you want the team to be confident that they can go into the playoffs with an opportunity, not just to win a round, even though we want to see this as fans because it's been 23 years, but we want to see them. You want the team to believe that they can go into the playoffs and make a run at a Stanley Cup, because that's the goal. If that's not the goal, then pack it up and go home. Just forfeit the spot. The goal is to win a championship, to win the cup. And if that means going through Pittsburgh first, and you know, then you let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
You play to win, and you just – whoever your opponent is, that's who it is, and you go in expecting to win. And I think the Islanders, you know, they like I said, Pittsburgh has been one of their rivals now for a couple of years. They played them as well as they could in 2013. Both teams are different now. They're not the same teams, but – you know, a lot of the core guys are still here for the Islanders and the Penguins too.
Is there any chance if the Islanders play the Penguins in round one? It's looking like that's the most likely scenario. Will Barclays Center come close to being as loud as the Nassau Coliseum was?
I tell you,
in game six.
I mean, I was at all three of those games, and I was, you know, at one of the games last year against Washington. But that place was just it was, and that's why I was so disappointed that they couldn't make a run in that building, because we probably would have literally blown the roof off that place if they would have made it past the first round. But I mean, that place was just absolutely insane. It was just one of the great atmospheres I've ever experienced in anything in my entire life. I mean, you know, you experienced games at the Big House in Michigan, and I mean, you were at Game 4 that year. So, you know, I don't know if you want to do a little comparison of a big Michigan game as compared to, you know, the Islanders Game 4 first round, but against Pittsburgh in 2000.
If I gauge it based on your reaction alone, we all know the lip. You know, you have to, you know, listeners who haven't had the pleasure of experiencing watching an Islanders hockey game with the lip. perhaps be a little surprised with the overall reaction. outward reaction. Inner could be different, but so look, we'll do a playoff series preview next show. We don't, you know, because we don't know definitively what it's going to be. The Islanders have clinched, but the Rangers, you know, could still overtake the Islanders in the third spot there. The Islanders have two games to go. The Rangers just have one.
Right. The one thing I'm also throw in there is that the Islanders now cannot be the eighth seed. So with their win tonight, they are now either the seventh spot or the three spots.
Right. They just needed, I think, 1 point.
Yeah, one tonight. Point tonight. Yep.
To
and the Flyers lost in overtime anyway, and
right.
One
of Detroit or Boston will get the third spot in the Atlantic, right. and then either one of those teams or the Flyers will get the last the second wild card. And you know, look, the Flyers could be playing relevant hockey against the Islanders.
Yeah, and the Islanders
Sunday.
may have absolutely. Well, I mean, they really have much to play for anyway. But I mean, they may, you know, they may be solidified in their position come Sunday, and may have literally nothing to play for. Interesting to see what they do in that game.
Well, especially, let me ask you though. Now that the Islanders beat the Rangers, and look, the Islanders are now they're hosting Buffalo on Saturday. Is this a game where they don't come out playing really hard because, you know, the win against the Rangers has sunk in? They're looking at the standings now. I think things were a lot more unclear going into tonight as far as the standings and how things would shake out. But I don't want it to happen. I'm just thinking, like, are the players in the back of their minds going to be a little more restrained? Because what – to them, what's the worst case is they end up seventh and they play Florida.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember, the Rangers play Saturday afternoon, so the Islanders play Saturday night. They're already going to know what the Rangers, you know, what the outcome is of the Ranger game. And, you know, if the Rangers win, then they know that they have to, you know, win both of their games in order to, you know, get that three spot. If the Rangers lose, and they only have to win one of them to get that that three spot. So, if, you know, if they were looking to, you know, to just to, you know, to get that three spot. So it'll be interesting to see what their mentality is the last two games of the season. I mean, look, I mean, right now they're just concerned about resting the guys that are injured. You know, however he's going to finagle around with the lineup, Capuano, you know, we'll see. You know, Clutterbuck, Martin, Lee, you know, I mean, Hamonic, we won't see it until the playoffs, but, you know, those guys, you know, Straight, who knows? I mean, they may need him at some point down the line. You know, it's just, you have so many guys right now that are banged up, and you know, the most important thing. And actually, I just read that they just announced that Hamonic apparently skated today. He didn't have gear on or anything, but he did a light skate to test out his knee. So that's good news. Yeah. And you know, as the tough you know, warrior that Travis Hamonic is, you know that he'll be back some point in the first round, even if it's not game one, he'll be back. But you know, we'll see, you know, exactly their approach on Saturday and Sunday. Especially, it'd be pretty funny if either Boston or Detroit needs the Islanders to win against the Flyers on Sunday, and here the Islanders are with a completely meaningless game. Oh, sorry, you know, we can't help you.
Does this hurt their momentum though if they kind of pull back just a little bit after, depending on what the Rangers do? I mean, look, I was just adamantly saying how they shouldn't have against the Rangers, and now here I am, perhaps.
Questioning, right. Well, yeah.
I mean, I sound like I'm contradicting myself here, but I think the circumstances are different. Going into this game against the Rangers, you still needed a point to avoid Washington, and to I think you still you're playing a this rival team. I think you really wanted to get more confidence from beating the Rangers. I don't really see it happening against Buffalo, but maybe they need to just keep pushing ahead. And look, if there's guys that are still banged up and they're going to sit, fine. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do agree. I mean, you want to see them play hard, whoever is in the lineup, you want to see them playing hard. And especially, you know, if, you know, by game one next week, if they have, you know, let's say Clutterbuck and Martin are all ready to go, you know, Josh, you know, one of the players he called out, Josh Bailey, he has not picked up his game at all. You know, Strom is now playing center, and Butchie made a point in the game this evening on the broadcast, which I agree with. Strom is definitely seems like he's more comfortable at center. He is a natural center. He's been playing on the wing because, you know, they've had other guys in that spot. But I think John Tavares now has his two line mates. I don't think Jack is touching Nielsen and Oposo on his wing. He's looked much better with those two guys on his wing than he did with Bailey and Strom. I think that's going to stay the same. You know, obviously, again, we'll see what happens when Clutterbuck and Martin come back in the lineup. Does Bailey ever take a seat? Probably not, but he has not picked up his game. I think Nelson overall has played better. I think Strom's been a little bit better, but Bailey just continues to be Bailey. And, you know, Bailey is the type of guy, he's been in the league long enough now. He is what he is at this point. You know what you're getting out of him. It's not really anything good. I mean, that's the point. We've been yelling about this for a while now, and, you know, I would basically emphasize to Bailey, hey, Josh, you know, these last two games you're going to play, and you're playing for a spot in the lineup. It's that simple. If you know, look, two games shouldn't make base your decision on two games. But, you know, if I'm the coach right now, I'm looking at a few players that may be like on the, you know, on that picket fence there. And, you know, in terms of, you know, their tenuous grasps on their spots in the lineup. And, you know, whether or not I'm going to make a change if I'm the coach. And that's what I'm looking at the last couple of games. But, yeah, you want your team to play hard. You want them to play hard still. And, again, you want them to carry some kind of momentum into the playoffs, whether it's next Wednesday, Thursday, whenever they start, whoever the opponent is. I do agree. You want to rest
guys.
Let's go.
Whoever it is, let's go.
Yep.
It's amazing how 4 days make a difference where I'm talking about, you know, I'm not excited watching them play against Tampa Bay and the upcoming games against Tampa Bay, Washington, and the New York Rangers. I'm more worried of watching a collapse. Well, 6 points later and 4 days later, let's go. Talk about a momentum shift. We just saw it. So,
well, like I said, the tone, very different.
Right. So our next show.
More upbeat.
Next show, we can say we will be doing
a playoff, you know,
round one playoff series preview. That's pretty exciting.
And that's what we were hoping for, right? I mean, this is when we started this in January. This is what we were hoping for. I mean, you know, we thought they would probably make the playoffs, but, you know, after Sunday, and there were a few other points here too. You were just like, this team is just playing terribly. And, you know, I mean, they're still flawed. They're not the best team in the conference by any stretch. You know, would a run to the Cup Finals be very much unexpected? Yes, at least just in terms of, you know, comparing them to the other teams in the conference. But, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. And if they play their best, if they all collectively as a group, you know, play to their, you know, maximize it, you know, their you know, and play to their ability. Yeah, whatever. I was trying to think of a way to phrase that. You know, play their best hockey. But, you know, if the team, you know, plays collectively as a group their best hockey, they can, I think, skate with any team in the conference. That goes for Washington, Pittsburgh, Rangers, whoever. And
we'll see whoever it is. We'll let the weekend ride out, and we'll see you, I guess Sunday or Monday next week, and we have a playoff series to preview. So, all right.
Yes. All right. And the Hip and the Lip will be attending at the Barclays Center.
That's right.
The games. So.
Yeah, so we'll see when they are, and, you know, we'll have to choose where we're going to go before the game. We've been trying to. And we'll
Where's
talk about
the Islander
that
Bar?
Too,
there are no Islander bars anywhere. We need
there's
one.
Islander bars around Barclays where people go before the games, but what we've been struggling to find are a bar that you can go to watch the Islander game, like in Manhattan, with the Islander sound on. Because now with baseball here, and, you know, basketball, nobody really cares, but in New York, because the teams suck. But with baseball back, there's just so many different, you know, options for a bar to choose for which game to put, you know, the sound on it, especially if the Rangers are playing the same night. I mean, I think the Rangers are going to take precedence over the Islanders because there's just more Ranger fans.
What about the St. Louis Cardinals? Will they take precedence over both teams?
If you go to Foley's New York City, across from the Empire State Building, as we found, then the St. Louis Cardinals get sound,
The big screen and sound.
Big screen and sound.
And there was one Cardinals fan, I think, in the entire bar that evening. Yay!
So our search continues for an island.
Hold on for Biscotti, yay!
You know, you can tweet at Hip and the Lip if you have any suggestions. I know there's hockey bars, but, you know, we want, like, a dedicated Islander bar. And maybe we have to take it upon ourselves to make it happen. Look, I realize it's towards the end of the year, so maybe it's more realistic for next year. But, you know, we'll, you know, if anyone out there is aware, you know, let us know and we'll show up.
All right.
Yes. Enjoy the weekend games.
Yes.
Hip and lip. La la la. We made the playoffs. So at least we keep going for another couple episodes and then we'll see.
At least we'll talk. You talk. And then otherwise we're talking about Adam Conley and George Springer. And
and then our listenership, well, it can't really plummet. So I guess it'll just.
Actually, it may rise if they hear something about fantasy baseball. Ooh, yeah, sure. I'm going to listen to this.
I'm sure. All right, well, over
right, next.
Say goodbye. All right. Say goodbye. All right, bye. Goodbye. Hip and the lip. Bye.